May we be excused, Your Honor?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Our final case this morning is number 16-1681, Crawford v. McDonald. Mr. Kinman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes.
Thank you. May it please the Court, my name is Max Kinman, representing the veteran in this matter, Tommy Crawford. The issue here is whether the Department of Veterans Affairs can withhold either granting or denying a primary claim, thereby putting it into the VA's version of purgatory, and then adjudicate a secondary claim. What we have here is a veteran who was originally granted service connection.
So what's the problem? You can go back and litigate the other claim if you want, right?
We certainly can litigate the primary claim because that one is not over yet. However, the problem will be the secondary claim was denied, so that claim is forever denied unless, number one, new and material evidence is submitted. And even if that claim is then granted years later, the effective date of that award is not going to date back to the original time.
Yeah, but I think what your problem is that if the board here had said, well, you lose on your secondary claim because your primary claim is now good, you'd have a pretty good argument. But they didn't say that. They said that your secondary claim is denied because you haven't shown a causal connection to the HALACs.
Your Honor, the secondary claim was the only claim at issue at the board. The board did not address the primary claim whatsoever. The medical opinion does address it briefly and say that the hallux valgus does not cause the peripheral vascular disease.
And that's the issue that the board decided.
That is the issue that the board decided, but it only...
And the court.
But it only addressed it on a primary basis, not on a secondary basis. The arguments that we could present on a secondary basis are that the veteran's foot condition, his hallux valgus, causes him to be unable to exercise, caused him to gain weight, caused him to be off of his feet, which thereby caused the peripheral vascular disease. We cannot make those arguments because the primary claim was not there. So the only arguments that the veteran could make before the board and the only arguments that the court would accept were that the hallux valgus claim is a primary condition, meaning that it was primarily due to some incident that happened in service. If it were allowed to address it on a secondary basis, the arguments change completely. And that's the problem that we have here. We weren't allowed to bring forth those arguments, and the veteran wasn't allowed to bring forth those arguments because the claim was denied without his... or the claim was the secondary condition was denied without the primary condition being adjudicated. So the arguments would change completely. And I know the board addresses that, and the board's language sounds like it does address those arguments, but it really doesn't, because it's only addressing it as a primary condition, not as a secondary one. We see secondary conditions all the time. For example, if you're a veteran and you have post-traumatic stress disorder, the PTSD might cause you to drink alcohol, and the alcohol drinking might cause you to have an esophagus condition or stomach condition. The esophagus and the stomach would be secondary conditions. If there was no PTSD, you could only claim the stomach and the esophagus were directly related to service, which is the same thing that happened here to Mr. Crawford. And he quite frankly had no other way to go about it. I think the record is clear that he had a hallux valgus claim that was pending. He had filed a notice of disagreement. The VA acknowledged that notice of disagreement. They specifically acknowledged it on Joint Appendix page 43. He had, as an unrepresented party, he had no other reason to believe that his claim was not still currently pending. All of his arguments to the board, to the VA, all related that his foot condition was the cause of his vascular condition. And the board hops around that and says, well, you don't have a vascular condition that's related to service, when in actuality the argument is that the vascular condition is related to the foot condition. And that's what we have here. You know, we see these cases quite a bit where the VA just refuses to act. And I know the Secretary believes that a unrepresented veteran should file a writ of mandamus to the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. This veteran did not have an attorney representing him, did not have an attorney represent him before the board. He had every reason to believe that his foot claim was still pending. The VA told him so. The VA told him so on Joint Appendix 43.
His foot claim is still pending.
And in his mind, it is still pending, but the Secretary is going to say it's no longer pending because he didn't file a timely notice of disagreement. And if his foot condition...
That's a different issue than the one we have here.
That is a different issue, Your Honor. But if his foot claim is still pending, then all we ask is that this court develop a rule where a secondary condition cannot jump to the front of the line before the primary condition. The VA has refused to issue a statement of the case on the primary foot condition. The board refused to address the primary foot condition. Instead, they are simply addressing the secondary condition, getting rid of the secondary condition, and thereby not giving the veteran any recourse to pursue his claim in the proper course. He can't make those arguments that the foot condition causes him not to exercise, because those arguments aren't valid unless you have a primary service connection claim.
I'm not understanding why it is that the decision of the board, starting with the medical examiner and the board, they seem to be saying that the vascular condition was not caused by the hallux valgus.
That's correct.
And therefore, even if hallux valgus is determined to be service-connected and compensable at whatever rate, that the vascular disease would go away. So why? That seems inconsistent with the argument you're making here, which is that they ignored the relationship between the hallux valgus and the vascular disease.
The board...
I don't see them having ignored that.
Well, they don't ignore it, but they only view it as a primary condition. So if you read the board's...
I don't know. I mean, they said it's not not caused by the condition of the feet or hallux valgus, et cetera. Then it wasn't caused by it. Therefore, that's whether you call it primary or secondary, the issue in both cases is causation, is it not?
The issue is causation, but...
They say there's no causation.
But you can't reach the level of causation unless you have a primary condition to hop on.
Well, but they're saying that even, in effect, what they're saying, it seems to me, is that even if there is evidence of hallux valgus, that there's no causal connection between that and the ultimate determination of vascular disease.
But if you read the board's decision and the court's decision, neither of them address the arguments that because of the veteran's condition of his feet, he was unable to exercise. If you read the medical report, the medical examiner says peripheral vascular disease is most likely caused to obesity, poor work ethic, not able to work out. The board doesn't address that issue, and the court doesn't address that issue because they don't have to, because they're addressing it as a primary condition. If he already had a foot condition that was rated and that was granted by the board or by the VA, the board would have to address the veteran's arguments that his peripheral vascular disease is a secondary condition because he was unable to work out, unable to exercise, unable to be on his feet. And that is what caused...
But then he would still have to show at that point some sort of causal connection.
He would. And if the board would have denied it because the board found that the evidence wasn't sufficient for that causal connection, we wouldn't be here.
But that's what they did do. They said there wasn't a causal connection. What's the difference between finding no causal connection now and finding no causal connection after you litigate the hallux valgus claim?
The difference would be that the veteran would have the opportunity to be heard on his arguments as to whether or not his foot condition and all the issues that are associated with it, meaning that he cannot stand on his feet, meaning that he's unable to walk, unable to run, all of those issues contributed or caused the peripheral vascular disease. Those arguments he was not allowed to make. He tried to make them, but as you can tell from the board's decision and you can tell from the court's decision, they don't even mention those arguments, because they don't have to here. The difference is minute, and it's picking points, But if you look at what the veteran said all along, he has said, my foot condition causes my vascular disease. Plain and simple. But it's not just because I injured my foot in service and the bunions on my toe magically caused this vascular disease. No, that's impossible. We know that's impossible. The difference is the foot condition caused him to be unable to exercise, which then causes the vascular disease. That's his argument. That's the crux of this argument, and that's the only argument you can make. And you can't be successful in that argument unless you are service-connected for the foot disorder. And the board doesn't address it. You look on page 112 of the joint appendix on the issues. That issue is not even brought up before the board. And that's why we have a strong due process here argument that the veteran is not being given an opportunity to be heard on this issue. He's not being able to, he's frankly being ignored by the VA and having that claim sandwiched and pushed to the back of the line. So with no further questions on this, I'll wait for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Sweet.
Thank you. May it please the court. I'd like to respond first to the point that the board, in fact, did address these arguments. If you turn to joint appendix, page 122, the first full sentence says, quote, it was also opined that it is less likely than not that his peripheral arterial disease is the result of a condition of the feet, bilateral feet pain, injury, event, or disease incurred in service, end quote. And then if you look at the first sentence in the next paragraph, says, as to the lay claims from the veteran and others that the appellant's bilateral lower extremity peripheral vascular disease was caused by service, the board finds that the above VA medical opinion was more probative than these lay claims because healthcare professionals have more expertise, end quote. So the board did consider his claims that the hallux valgus caused his peripheral vascular disease, but it rejected those. Those are factual findings that this court cannot review. The entire argument that this is somehow a secondary and primary disease relies on overturning a factual finding by the board that there, in fact, is no causal connection. So in essence, that means that this is not a secondary condition. But even if it were, if he were ultimately to be able to go and get service connection for his hallux valgus and he didn't have this impediment of a lack of causal connection, he could go back and file a Q claim and get service connection back for his vascular disease. In this case, that couldn't happen because, as you pointed out, there's no causal connection between the two diseases. So even if he does have service connection for the hallux valgus, he's not going to be able to get it for the vascular disease.
Now, Mr. Kinman suggests that the VA, if he tries to reinitiate his hallux valgus claim, will claim that he's untimely. What's the VA's position on, I mean, this is procedurally a mess, thanks in part, I think you will agree, to the VA's having slipped up in a couple of respects in the advice that it gave him as to when things were due. What's the VA's position with respect to the status of his pending hallux valgus claim?
Certainly, you're absolutely correct. The July letter was incorrect in that. But the problem that he faces is that then,
That's not the only one. In December, I think there was an incorrect letter as well, was there not?
No, I think the only one that was incorrect was the July letter, which indicated that incorrectly that he had filed a timely notice of disability.
Oh, okay, all right.
And the VA has acknowledged that that was a mistake. The problem is that then in January 2008, the VA sends another letter saying, no, we made a mistake. You actually don't have a pending notice of disagreement. And Mr. Crawford has not done nothing. That's the last communication regarding this. So for nearly six years, the ball has been in his court. But that is an issue the VA has to resolve in the first instance. But it'll be up to Mr. Crawford to go back to the RO and he'll have to explain why he didn't respond to that letter within a year. Because that decision that he doesn't have a timely notice of appeal is itself an appealable decision. So he, at that point, he could have and should have filed a notice of disagreement with that January letter, and he had a year to do that. He didn't. To the extent he's arguing he was pro se or he didn't understand the letter, again, I mean, those are issues that he's going to have to raise before the RO in the first instance. He can go back now at this point, file that notice of disagreement, and try and justify it. And the RO will have to consider that in the first instance. If Your Honors have no further questions, I respectfully request that the court affirm the Veterans Court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sweet. Mr. Kinman?
Thank you, Your Honors. Judge Bryson, to answer your question in part, as you can tell from the Secretary, they're not answering it. They're not saying whether or not the claim's still pending or not.
Right.
They want the veteran to go back, file a new claim with the RO, file a new notice of disagreement. They act like after that letter, he didn't do anything. Joint Appendix, page 56, March of 2008. He argues, I've already filed a notice of disagreement for my Halleck-Valgus. He's still arguing it. July of 2009, he's still asserting the same argument. Joint Appendix, page 82.
What was the first JA site they gave me?
Page 56. So that's after the alleged denial from the VA. He's saying, I'm filing another disagreement. Here's my reasons. I've already filed a notice of disagreement with the decision to sever my previous service-connected conditions for my feet. I don't know what else this man can do other to tell the VA that he disagrees with the foot claim.
That seems to me to be pretty evident.
I think it's completely.
I don't think there's any acquiescence indicated by this record.
And so then the issue becomes, if this claim is still pending, if this foot claim is still pending, why doesn't he have an opportunity to be heard as to why the foot claim causes the peripheral vascular disease? I go back to my PTSD example because I think it's a lot clearer to understand because these diseases are a little more complicated. If you have PTSD, and let's say the same situation exists, okay, where you had a PTSD claim and you disagreed, but the VA did nothing with it, and then you filed a claim for throat cancer, okay, and the whole time you're saying my throat cancer is because I drink too much alcohol because of my PTSD, you're going to get the exact same case file here. You're going to see the board, and the board's going to say, well, you don't have, or your throat cancer is not related to service and it's not related to PTSD because PTSD doesn't cause throat cancer.
But that's the point at which the veteran says, yes, it does in my case, and here's why.
And that's what he's tried to do, but they haven't addressed it at all.
But that really goes to the merits of whether you think the board has messed up the factual determination, but that's not something that...
If the board had put in this decision, or in my PTSD example, if the board would have put in PTSD caused alcohol problems for this veteran, but the alcohol did not cause the throat condition, I'd have no argument. If in this case the board would have said the veteran had a foot condition, he wasn't able to exercise, we hear his arguments, we hear what his evidence submitted on that is, but we disagree with that, we wouldn't be here.
So you put in evidence, or your client put in evidence, that he was unable to exercise because of the Halleck-Valgus, right?
That's his entire claim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's every time.
Your real complaint is they didn't discuss that.
Right, and they didn't discuss it because there was no reason to discuss it. They didn't have to discuss it because the only way they would have to discuss it is if there was a primary claim to talk about. There was no primary claim here to talk about. If you got throat cancer, sorry, it's not due to you having PTSD. That's different than you have throat cancer, it's not due to your alcohol usage, which is due to your PTSD. That's the step here that's missed. And it's frustrating because these folks, they come in, they serve, they do their duty to our country, they go all this way dealing with the mess of bureaucracy of the Veterans Administration. He makes these arguments over and over and over. Once he has counsel at the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, I make these arguments for him. And we have a board decision that ignores it. We have the honorable judge down in the CAVC who says, well, I don't have to address it. And you have the most important thing, I think, is Joint Appendix, page 108. This is the medical examination that the board relies upon and that the court relies upon. And on page 108, what the examiner says is that this is caused by obesity, hypertension, hyperlipidemia. Those are what cause peripheral vascular disease. And what the examiner doesn't do is make the next step to say that the veteran's obesity,
hypertension and hyperlipidemia are due to him not being able to walk. The examiner doesn't address that issue because he doesn't have to. The board doesn't address it because they don't have to. And the court doesn't address it because they don't have to, because the secretary messed up on this case and it wasn't properly in front of them. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kinman. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.